The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, Roxy Soxy.
Good afternoon, Tam Tam. How are you?
I've had the best day ever. I'm in Kelowna, which is this small little town in Canada, shooting a movie. But I realized I'm not a snow person.
A little chilly up there, isn't it?
Are you a snow person?
No, I am a beach person through and through. I need like the warm. I need the warm all the time.
Are you a ski person?
Well, I didn't say that. I'm more of like an après ski person.
Yeah. So you just sit and like drink the cocktails.
Yeah. You know,
I get, I get it. Do you actually, have you ever been down a ski slope?
I have. It's not always the prettiest sight to see.
Like butts up, butts up.
Butts up. I probably am going like the same sort of speed as like the little ones, you know, like the ones who are just taking ski school. I'm like kind of on their pace. I'm like, this funny
ski school.
And so here's the thing. I have a really quick, funny story before you introduce our next guest. But my dad went skiing when we were younger. We all went to like this place in Australia. We all went skiing. And my dad was pretending that, well, he said he knew how to ski and he was kind of showing us how to do it. And he started going down the hill and he couldn't stop. And he kept going down and he like smashed into a whole group of tourists from another country who had never been skiing before. And they all like dominoes fell one after each other. It was just like, boom, 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 boom. And like, we just couldn't stop laughing. And he was so embarrassed. But that was kind of the end of his like very short-lived ski career.
Wait, that is so funny. And also, I didn't even realize that Australia had ski mountains.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have ski mountains. Oh yeah, we have everything in Australia. We have skis, we have snow, we have warmth, we have sharks, we have hot, spiders.
Hot men too. You've got
we have hot men. We kind of have all the things. So Australia really is the way to go.
Nice, nice. I mean we have to go together. My first time to Australia has to be with you.
Oh, it has to be. I would be very devastated if like all of a sudden you were like, hey, Tam, I'm in Australia. I'd be like, fuck you.
I'm like, I'm back in your home country.
It's like me going to like Dallas. I'm like, hey, I'm hanging out in Dallas. You'd be like, screw you. Like, that's my hometown.
Exactly.
I'll be like, I'm hanging out with your parents. Yeah. I'm like sending you pictures.
Oh my gosh. At the favorite Mexican restaurant, having
I'll be like, I'm here with your mom. It's super weird. And your dad, he like loves me. They're like asking to be part of the family.
Like superimposed in all the Christmas cards.
Yeah. And then we'll put like a picture of you next to us and I'll just put a face on. And I'll be like, that was the time that you introduced me to your family.
Classic. I love it.
Anyway, well, I've missed you, Rox.
I missed you too.
Hope to see you soon.
Yes.
Hopefully not in Dallas or Australia, but like back in LA.
Yes, we're definitely planning on it.
Well, we have had to do this podcast, everyone, really last minute. So we, because Roxy's been having an amazing Thanksgiving and I've been working my ass off. She's like in all the country club. Anyway, she's having a good time. And I'm freezing my tits off. Anyway, so I was like, well, who should we have on the show? And I was like, well, we should have our director who I've gotten super close to in the last like 3 weeks because she's just super interesting. And we're very female powered, female driven show. And she is she's a bisexual Muslim. Well, we talk about that a little bit more later. Director who is bilingual, who's lived in Japan, who's like kicking it on set. And she graduated from the Groundlings in LA. She's directed so many different films. She mentors like younger girls. And so I was like, we need to have her on. Panta. Now I want to say your last name properly. Moslet. You say the last name.
Which version? The English version is Mosley, and then the Farsi version is Mosley.
And what's the Japanese version? Because you've lived in Japan for a long time.
Yeah, mosure. So panta mosure is Japanese version, and then panta mosle is the Farsi version, and panta mosle is the English version.
I just can't believe you know so many languages. I don't even know English that well, so I don't even know how you can speak so much.
I just my accent is good. The rest of it is not good. It's just the accent.
Yeah, it's very good.
Sounds like I speak it good.
Yeah.
So we want to welcome you.
Woo! Oh, we didn't do our clap. We clap for every guest.
Yeah.
Clapping
yes.
with one hand. Because I'm literally like, if the people who are listening to this, if you want to watch it, just know I'm sitting in a hotel bedroom with terrible lighting. So this is as good as you're going to get.
I love it. You look like a cabaret singer or something because you have like your microphone that you're holding and you're.
Yeah.
Welcome to the room.
And it was like such a good idea in theory, but I'm like, oh shit, I have to hold my microphone like for an hour. This is not gonna go well.
Yeah. Wait, can I just ask a quick question? Because I was looking at your bio and I was so intrigued. Because first of all,
oh my God.
Your bio is so funny. But like the first thing that it's like kind of the first line of your bio is like a test tube baby from Singapore. I mean, so how
made in Singapore, baby?
Singapore, like how does a test tube baby from Singapore get to Iran?
Yes,
right.
So, I mean, my parents are from Iran, and you know, they were having a hard time having their first baby, so they went up to Singapore, and you know, my daddy did his business. And my mommy got the egg. They mixed it outside, shuck like the bartender, get it in, and voila, this is what you get. So no sexy time went in the making of this one. So I was born sexually frustrated, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. And so wait, you were made in Singapore, but were you quote unquote conceived or implanted in a different country?
No, in Singapore.
In Singapore.
Yes. And I went to kindergarten there too.
Ah, okay. So, and your parents were Iranian. So did you guys like from there go to Iran to live?
Yeah. So okay. I've lived in Singapore, Iran, Canada, Japan, yes, all over the world.
Wow.
Just like a nomad traveling.
And what was it like growing up in, so how many years did you spend in Iran and what was it like growing up there?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know how many years, probably like a lot of like my elementary years was there. And it was nice. I mean, it was a lot of like being with a lot of family members. It was quite nice. I love the food there. People are super hospitable. The music. I mean, I think every other day we were at a party. And so it was nice there. And it was good. But then there was the, you know, the having to cover yourself, the mandatory hijab and all that stuff that I think my family didn't agree with. I didn't agree with. And so, you know, my mom's like, I want freedom for my children. So sent us off. To abroad. So I appreciate her and my dad for that.
You know, I think it's so interesting too, because especially with everything that's gone on with Mahsa Amini recently getting murdered and just all of the horrificness and cruelty associated with that, I think people had this preconceived notion about Iran, and you know, a lot of the videos and photos coming out, you know, are not the best right now. But before 1979, Iran was very Western.
That is right. That is right. My mom tells me, I mean, my mom grew up in that era, and she would show us a lot of photos and say, like, you know, Iran was like a very forward thinking country, you know, many different religions from Baha'i to Christian to Jewish to Muslim. Everybody lived hand in hand, people with hijab, people without the hijab. And, you know, unfortunately, like what happened is the West countries, it's all about oil. I mean, if you want to get into politics, it's all about oil and who gets to control who. So a lot of propaganda was done and people were tricked by the Western countries, and you know, the revolution happened, and this current regime has been put there, and they're giving oil to the countries benefiting from that regime right now. And those are the countries that are very silent right now and not helping. They're just, you know, saying they're standing with Iran but not actually doing anything about it. But hopefully that'll change. You know, now I know that the UN had a big, you know, voting session on investigating what's happening. But, you know, as we all see, a lot of people are still fighting for the freedom, fighting for having to express
rights,
you know, how they want to dress, what they want to say, or just for freedom in general and equality between women and men. And so it's a big revolution happening in Iran right now. And it'll be, you know, once the freedom happens, it'll be a big thing in the Middle East, because it's a big, you know, over there, a lot needs to change, a lot needs to move forward. And I think with this revolution, it hopefully will propel that to happen.
And we were chatting recently, and you had said that, and this is what shocked me, is you said that it's kind of pretty well known that a guy in Iran, like when you're a woman, a guy will come up to you and just touch you inappropriately, and you'll just have to either accept it, or you're expecting it to happen every day.
Is that right? Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't know anybody, like, you know, from people around me that hasn't experienced something like that, whether it's like, you know, you're in public waiting in line. I remember as a kid, like, you know, 8, 9, somebody groped me, you know, and it's because of everybody's frustrated. Everything is not allowed. You know, if you take everything away and, you know, a little bit of skin is shown, they go crazy. That's, you know, if it's all there and they're used to it, they're not going to go as crazy, I think, you know, but if somebody's showing a little extra skin, they're like, ooh. So it's the repression, it's the oppression, that's happening, unfortunately, over there. And sometimes it's just, and it's not everybody, but it's sometimes the people, the men will react in a different way. But I can't say it for all the men. Now that are fighting for women, they're the real men of Iran, and the people that are very dangerous for me to say this, but like the people that are, you know, with the government, they are we don't consider them the real Iranians. They're just they're just getting paid to do and say what they're supposed to, you know. Yeah, that's their lifestyle. That's the best I can describe it. But you know, it's very interesting now. Like I remember as a kid, where, you know, I would hear my uncle say, you know, in the U.S. there would be no dogs and no Persian sign on the walls of restaurants, like, you know, after the revolution. And so saying you're Iranian or you're Persian, one thing that you'd be ashamed of, because they'd be like, oh, these people. And, you know, after 9/11, it was like, oh, terrorists, axis of evil. I remember hashtag real talk. I remember people throwing stones, people like, you know, taping up shavers on me and my sister's locker because we had curly hair. We looked different. Or they'd be like, oh, go back to your country. We're like, well, we're living here now. This is, you know, technically our country too. You should go back to your country because this is the indigenous people's country, really. And humor is my way of dealing with things, by the way. So I smile because that's my way of like going through life. But yeah, it was, but now with the, you know, with the revolution, everybody's looking back into the history and seeing, oh my gosh, Iran has a history. You know, now when you say Iran, everyone's like, wow, oh, the country with the history, the country that started, you know, the human rights movement, the equality between everything. There's, you know, thousands of years that people, you know, lived together, accepted each other. And you know, now we're known for like the carpets and the, you know, I mean, everybody knows the Persian carpet and the cat and the, you know, the white Benz, you would know it's like the Persian person around the corner. but like, you know, the image of people is changing. The word terrorist is now more associated with the government and the people that are controlling the people. But the people of the country itself, the people that are fighting for the freedom, they're the real Iranians. They're the real Persians, because, you know, the Kurdish people, you know, we have in Iran a lot of different ethnicities. And I'm half Kurdish myself, from my mom's side. So we have a lot of those, and people are learning about that, and it's kind of cool. And now I'm not embarrassed to say I'm Iranian, I'm Persian, you know. Or before I would just not really say, I would just be like, yeah, I'm from West Asia, Middle East, you know. Even those have, like, the Middle East has a negative, you know, connotation, there's my English, it's gone, to it, right? Like, you know, Middle East equals like, oh, or no, you know, do you guys ride camels? I remember getting that question so many times, like, you know, have you been to a desert or do you ride a camel? I'm like, Iran has got more buildings than New York.
It's interesting you're saying that, because my father is Pakistani and I got a lot of similar kind of teasing growing up. You know, I mean, my mother is from a really small.
Oh, you're my half sister, girl. Yes.
I'm like, hey, girl, it's you right here, right here.
Yes.
But it's so interesting because I got a lot of that similar teasing. But it, for me, it was weird because it was like I kind of didn't fit in really on either side, because it wasn't quite white enough for like the, you know, the white
and
side.
You weren't quite ethnic
Pakistani enough, you know, or ethnic enough for the other side. So it's really interesting to see that, but because I've heard a lot of that too. But I also wanted to ask you, because it is so important to talk about everything that's going on there and, you know, really trying to create awareness and action, hopefully. Do you feel a responsibility to speak out? And do you also feel scared if you do speak out?
Yeah, because I'm not, I mean, if I was in Iran, I probably would be in the streets. And I had that conversation with my mom and, you know, part of her is relieved that I'm here because she, you know, knows that where I would be and what could become of me if I was there. And because I'm here, I'm not able to be on the streets. My only way is to post on social media, maybe go to rallies, maybe speak up about it. Am I afraid? Absolutely, because I still have family there. And it could, you know, compromise their well-being. And, you know, so I absolutely, do I have the fear? 100%. But am I not saying anything? I can't not say anything, because not saying anything means you're, you know, what's the word for
complicit?
Yeah. Like, and I don't stand with the government. I don't stand with the way they're treating people and how things are going for the past, I think, what is it, 43 years now that they've oppressed people. And, if I, this is the only thing I can do is to talk about, speak about it, post about it, go out and join my fellow Iranians and raise awareness about it. And, appreciate that you guys are talking about this, because this is another way to amplify the voices of my people back home that are literally risking their lives going out there to fight for the freedom. And when the country is free, people like us are going to go back and enjoy it. And boy, do I feel guilty. But I want to make sure that when the day comes, I'll be like, you know what, I tried to contribute in my way, if whatever I can do.
I actually think it's shocking that when I turn on the news, I just don't see anything about what's going on in Iran. The only time I do is through social media outlets like TikTok. I feel like it's taken, you know, someone really pushing what's going, like I saw a video the other day of just bombs going off, you know, and a family hiding
it's
and being able to like get out through, get, you know, be able to try to connect with the rest of the world through a platform like TikTok. And I feel like, you know, that is the only way to hear people's voices is just not okay. You know,
it's fortunate, you know, like the all these news channels are from countries that are benefiting. And I don't want to name and point any fingers at anyone, but they're the countries benefiting from the oil in Iran. You know, they have deals and they're not there's a reason they're not covering it, because, you know, they're all over Iran if they want to call them a terrorist. But not quite standing up and speaking up and covering everything that's happening. It's sad. Like, it's here and there you'll see some coverage, but it's just, it's not enough. And it's a shame that social media is what is covering people's voices. And that is why we keep saying, please amplify the voices of people, because you guys are hearing about this because of social media. And you know, unfortunately, Iran with like trying to interfering with the internet, the government of the terrorist government interfering with the internet that people have so they can't post, or like blocking, you know, these social media apps so they can't post, so people have to find ways to still post and send videos and talk about the horrific things that's happening there. You know, like I don't know how much gory details you guys want to hear, but you know what happens in the prisons is not good for the terminology. It's horrible, and they're not even allowing the families to mourn the prisoners that they've murdered, tortured, raped, and killed.
absolutely horrible. And it guts me to see, especially not only the young generation, you know, I'm so proud of them for like standing up and protesting and everything, but there were actually, I've seen grandmothers out there protesting, you know, who have lived in this, under this like tyrannical regime for so long, who are just fed up. They're just fed up and they do not care. And they're like, fuck it. You know what? Like, this is our chance. Like, we, you know, let's do this. And it's just absolutely the way, like, it's become multi-generational and just everybody coming together is just so, it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is nice. I've seen posts where people who participated in the 1979 is the West year, but 1957 is the Iranian year. They've participated in the 1979 revolution marches, and they have on their jacket that says, "We are sorry for, you know, participate. I'm sorry for participating. I'm ashamed. I'm with you now." And they're walking in the streets. You know, this is not the first time people have tried to stand up, but this is the first time they're standing up against the government. Because 2009, if you guys remember, it was another big movement. It was the Green Movement. And at the time, the slogan was give back our vote. So they were still willing to negotiate with government. But now they've learned, you know, a decade later or more, that negotiating with this government will go nowhere. They got to leave, basically. And so now everybody is unanimously chanting death to dictatorship, death to everybody that's up there, that's controlling and killing the people.
You and I chatted about the fact that, you know, you're openly bisexual, and you get to have the honor of directing movies. And I said to you, like, you know, you have family that live there. Would you ever, not now, but would you ever go back? And you said, I don't know if I could because of who I am.
And I'm very queer. So it's terrifying. If, you know, 2021, as recent as 2021, there's been honor beheadings, or like, you know, killing of people for purely reasons of them being queer. And you know, the content that I make, like, you know, I always try to find movies that has at least a queer character or a storyline or something that represents us from the alphabet mafia, I call it, in the community. So like, but you know, on the flip side, I am terrified to go back. I don't want to be held up at the border or arrested as I step in. And I'm very vocal now on my social media. So I definitely, many reasons I don't want to go back. I mean, I have family members that know, and I have family members that don't. My mother, of course, and she's definitely come to terms with it. We had a bit of a falling out, I would call it. And, you know, I didn't, many things, but, you know, one of the reasons was that, and I think we lost touch 6 years, and we're back into each other's lives, relearning each other, accepting everything about each other. And my mom's definitely come around, and we're growing our relationship again. And I think someday I'll tell my dad.
Oh my goodness.
I love it. You're like,
Dad, if you're not watching that, sorry. Yeah.
You're not listening to Woman on Top podcast. Probably not. Woman on Top is exactly what they would not be listening to.
How do you think your dad would take it? Have you not told him because you think that his reaction will not be, he'll not be the most welcoming?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, my mom is not religious at all, and my dad is very like Muslim religious. He's open-minded, but I've seen him, like, you know, openly support and say nice things about other queer couples. But you know, I also have seen him say things, I'm like, are you really supportive, or are you just saying it in public? How would you feel, like, if your daughter, you know? I think I had tried to a couple of times say something, but I was like, I don't think it will go well. So I didn't bother to push it forward, and maybe someday I will. Same with my mom's side of the family. Like, my mom knows, but I don't think the family knows, but I mean, it's on social media, it's on my website, it's on my, so if they know, they know. And if they don't, that's not on me to tell them. Cause you don't go around and be like, hi, my name is,
by the way,
and I am very straight and I love men. So why do I have to
love
be
a
like,
good,
hi,
loving man?
Why do I gotta come and be like, I'm Panta, I'm queer, I'm, you know, my blood type is, and you know, it's too much info. I'm just Panta. This is who I am. This is what I do.
Do you remember the first moment where you realized that you were into the same sex? Do you remember that well, or is it just, was it kind of just an affirmation?
No. I think I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Like, I would watch, what was it? Xena the Warrior Princess. It was a TV
like,
show.
She's really pretty.
And then her sidekick, I was like, I kind of want to see them making out. What's going on? Yeah. I was a kid. You know, and then I think I really found out like at 16, 17. So it wasn't too old, it wasn't too young. And it was the first lovely lady that taught me a lot of things was a Japanese lady who was a homestay student. And I learned a lot from my sensei. That's when I really
you're like, what is this podcast?
Let's leave it at that. How much details do you want to know?
I'll tell you, we say all the details.
Yes,
here
we
in
do.
This show
we
it's we it all is on the record. We say it all.
Oh man, okay, fine, I'll tell you. So I didn't know
that did not take
God,
long.
You're twisting my arm, stop it. I can't.
I was just like, oh, let me say everything, and you're like, okay, let me tell you everything.
Like, okay. So I think the first time it was more of I was 17, she was 23 or 4, so a bit older than me, I think, if I'm not wrong, of the age, and it was more of a you got to do this. And you know, I remember I cried after the first time. I was like, is this wrong? And then I was like, let me try.
I cried too the first time I went to base two. I cried. I was
what
like, I felt.
I'm sorry, my English not so good. Can you elaborate on what base two is?
Okay, actually, third base. What is the full boat? Fourth base.
Home run is the full.
Wait, thing. I'm adding bases here. Okay, so
I don't know how many bases
this
you have.
I don't know.
So many...
I don't care about baseball.
There's so many teams we have as women, my dear. There's
okay,
this,
so first
there's
base,
this.
First
there's
base toys. Is kissing. Okay, first base is kissing, and final base home run is sex. So second base is, you know, so third base. So third base, when third base happened to me, I cried while it was happening.
Oh my God.
Wait, what's third base to you? Because
totally,
I don't know your
totally
bases. Wise,
which is like,
Roxy, are you with me on this one? I don't know what your bases are. Is it like,
so well,
you know, like it's,
fine.
It's like second base.
I was like below the belt. Okay. Below the belt without sex.
That
I remember,
means girl would not, would that not be home run?
No. That home run's, you know, that home run's the home run. Well, if we don't know who's listening to it, we might have new people here.
You said about everything on the show. I saw you say you talk about everything on the show.
We do. So, anyway.
Wait, you cried when third base, you said you cried when third base happened to you.
Yes, while it was happening.
And but who was the person
while it was
third basing you?
Some guy.
I don't know his name.
I really actually don't. It's okay. Been a minute. I've been around for a while now and have had two children, and it's been a minute. It's been at least 20 something.
Not
a
been around the block just a little bit. Been around the block just a wee bit.
But guys, I've been with my husband for 16 years. Isn't that crazy? And anyway, 20 years ago. And I just remember I cried the whole time. And the poor guy looked like he was so upset, but like I was up, but I didn't know. It's crazy because I think there's a few sexual experiences I've had, and I talk to Roxy about this a lot. And Panta, you can give me your ideas on this. But there's a few sexual experiences I've had that I actually didn't want to happen, but I didn't know how to say no, and I didn't want to make them mad or offended or feel let down. Mm. So there's a few, that was one of them. That was one of them. I probably shouldn't have gone, shouldn't have done third base with nameless man. You know, I shouldn't have done that, but I did because I didn't know how to leave. Did you, have you had a few of those?
I feel like most of my friends have been through something like that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that was very violent or, you know, but even kissing, like somebody, if you don't want to kiss somebody and they're like, right? And making themselves kiss you. Like, I just saw this thing today, you guys. This is so weird that we're talking about this. it was a clip from an award show that was 1995, I think.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. Jim Carrey came out with Revenge. Yeah, I know exactly.
Yes, with Cameron Diaz and Chris Isaac, and they were the presenters. That was gross. They were presenting
the
award, and Cameron Diaz, they're, you know, saying the lines, and all of a sudden Chris Isaac is getting very, you know, giving her kind of looks and things like that, and he goes in to kiss her, and you can tell that she did not want to do that, right? Mm. So it's even something like that on a national or international award show. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't even called out back then, really. I mean, Jim Carrey did, because you know what Jim Carrey did? He went up on stage, his girlfriend at the time, won the award, and he was so sweet. He walked up, he probably felt like she was not safe up there with him, and he walked her up, and then Jim Carrey tried to plant one on Chris Isaac. And Chris Isaac was like this, and it's like, but that was in 1995 and no one called it out, you know.
And we just, Tans and I went to the movies yesterday and we watched She Said, and just about the Harvey Weinstein case and how, you know, so many women, so I think it was 8 to 12 settlements had been against women, like have women came out, 8 to 12 women, and he settled with 12 of them, 8 to 12 of them. And then when Ashley Judd came on the record and said what happened to her, a few other women came out and said, yes, we'll go on the record as well, and you can quote me. Then the Times article was written about, you know, what these women said that he had done. And then 83 women came out after that article was published. So, and I said that to Panta. I was sitting next to her in watching the movie, and I said, she's like, oh my goodness, 8 to 12. And I looked at her and I said, if 8 to 12 actually had the courage to talk about it, I'm telling you, there's hundreds more who were not. And exactly what we were talking about with Cameron Diaz, like she didn't feel comfortable saying anything, you know? And again, like I didn't feel comfortable third base, you know? And how many times does that happen?
Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time, you know? And think about, there's so many people who have not, and not that they have to, I mean, it's their choice if they want to speak up or not, but like, think about how many haven't spoken up that it's happened to, you know?
It happens here too, you know, like producers and just taking advantage of their powers. And I mean, hopefully it's getting less and less, and because of the whole harassment, like lawsuits and things that there are more, and the movement really helped with that, but it's still there. It's still there.
Funny that you say that, because like I think I was like a recluse just after I had my babies, because I would just be with my husband or a couple of my friends or with my kids. And now that I'm out and about more because I've been working so much, I'm around a lot more people. I'm going to rap parties. I'm meeting more people, and I'm actually shocked at in the last year and a half how I don't know if it's getting better. The amount of times that, yes, I would stop something before it happened, but the amount of times I've been touched inappropriately in the last year and a half, just by like someone touching your back for too long, or like someone saying, like yesterday we went to the rap party and some guy, I took my hair down and they said, oh, please don't do that in front of me. Like, meaning like he was going to get turned on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you don't, like, in what world is that okay to say to a stranger? Like, I would never say, please don't put your hand in your pocket because your penis is turning me. Like, that would never even cross my mind, you know? So I don't know if it's getting better. I don't know. I don't.
I mean, slowly, very slowly, things are changing. The first step towards fixing any problem is to admit there is one. So we're at first base. Get to home run, people.
Get to third at least.
I think it's really interesting too, like the way that more women are taking, you know, roles of power in movie making and filmmaking, you know, and really becoming like the backbone and the filmmaking bone of the film. I wonder if that's going to change things quite a bit too, because
they're gatekeepers. You
know, yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. They're the keepers. They're the ones who, you know, may act on.
As long as they're not catty women.
I know. Because sometimes it's worse.
Right. It's a double-edged yeah. sword, right? It's like, it could either be amazing or not. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, I gotta say, I worked on a show, I worked on Supernatural, and it was one of the episodes where Amanda Tapping was the amazing director on that one, and she had a female first AD and a lot of females on her crew member. That set was the safest set mm-hmm. I've ever been on. I felt like family. It felt like everybody was very welcoming, and there was a very different energy about it, whereas like, you know, sometimes a lot of movies I've worked on, it's boys club, and what you say as a woman goes completely unheard. But if another guy says exactly what you said, they're like, oh, that's a great idea. It's like, hang on, that was my idea. And I've become that, that's you next Tuesday, let's say, but it's not, I'm not even being a cunt. I'm being very vocal about it. It's like, that was my idea. Thanks for, you know, I have my ways of saying it. I'll be like, thanks for indulging me. Thanks for my selfish reasons. I really appreciate you listening to my idea. Okay. Just letting you know. Yeah. Hello. Or I'll be like, you know, I said that 2 minutes ago, you guys, and like, I'm very vocal about it. Like, it sounds like I'm being annoying, but really, I shouldn't even have to say that. You should already recognize what I'm saying, should already make me feel heard equally, you know. So it's we gotta stand up. We gotta stand up and pave the way for the future generations. It might not be our generation will benefit from it, but if we stand up and we are the strong women, and hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, the women of the future don't have to feel that. They don't have to.
Gosh, I remember pitching. I mean, you've done this so many times, but like pitching in a room full of men, and like, you know, I would pitch with my husband and we'd be talking both 50-50% of the time. Like, no one looks up. Like, no one looked up when I like pitched half of mine. And then when he finished it off, everyone like, you know, perked up. And my husband was raised by a single mom, so I actually think he's very in tune with women. But I see how different he is around women than other men are. And I'm not a man hater at all. I love men. Some of my closest friends are guys. It's just, I don't know why we always feel like we're the inferior sex, and we just want equality. We don't want to be better than, we want exactly the same, you know, mm-hmm. and that's what we're fighting for. And like the word feminist has become such a dirty word. It's like, feminist just means I want the same rights, you know. That's all it is. I just want to be equal. I just want to have the same pay for the same job. I just want to be heard mm-hmm. in the same, you know, the same way a man is. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Even till this day, you'll see a woman and a man going up for both of them. For example, let's talk about our industry, leading roles, and the man gets paid more mm-hmm. than the woman does. And it's like, well, they're both leads. Hello, why don't they get paid the same? What's going on, you know? And hopefully, just in all industries, not just film, but it's just always men get paid more for doing exactly what women would do. And it's kind of frustrating mm-hmm. and sad and upsetting. And I won't name a company, but there was a company that I worked at as a production coordinator. And, you know, my PM was a woman. She left. And, you know, being a coordinator, I would see some of the paperwork, contracts, checks, all that stuff. And so I know the rates. And then a new PM came, less experienced than the female, like significantly less experienced. Mm-hmm. He got time and a half pay compared to her. Mm-hmm. And I was just livid. I was just like, he didn't know how to do the job. And I was just like, where did you hire him? Why did you hire him? Like, it was just frustrating. It was very frustrating to see it and not have the power to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we got to move up and we got to change from the inside out, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they also get men are the ones that get the top billing usually, too.
That is like, true.
Right? Yeah. Whether they're the actual star of the film or not, it usually always goes to the man first, you know? Mm-hmm.
I will say that the last four movies I've done have all been female directors.
That's good, because they're changing. It's surface deep. It's not deep enough. It's not fast enough. But even if it's surface deep, it's good, but still a lot needs to change. Like a lot, like we need to normalize showing women that have aged on TV, because you see somebody that's 40 and then their love interest is a 21-year-old girl and you're like, what? Yeah. Why can't we have like a 41-year-old woman, a beautiful, you know, 45-year-old woman, and the love interest is a 20-year-old boy? Let's do that. Let's see that. Let's have more of that. Hello. Like, let's
so cold out. Like, when you see a celebrity with a younger guy, like, even like Megan Fox is with someone 2 years younger or whatever, and they always say like the older woman. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, like, I don't. And then you have people like, look at we had Catherine Foster on, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Who's married to David Foster, and she's an amazing singer from American Idol, like one of the first American Idols. And he's like 40 years older than her. And yes, like she gets comments about it, but if it was the reversed, I think it would look, people would feel like it was so bizarre that they wouldn't be able to see past it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's good now that people are joking about it, laughing about it. Like, I love Leonardo DiCaprio, but boy, your age cap.
At some point, he's going to be 60.
I'm just switch. I'm like, stop it. Just don't be that guy. We love you. Don't be that guy.
I know.
25.
Like, they keep saying now, they're like, oh, he's on a different path because now he's dating Gigi Hadid, who's 27 with a baby. And I'm like, guys, it's like two more years.
A therapist said, I read something that a therapist said that is, you know, when you have your traumatic experience is kind of where you stop, you're like mentally stop unless you go to therapy and try to like work through it. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, I think my trauma was around like 16, 17 when I started working as a child actor. Again, it wasn't traumatic in the fact that anyone like sexually abused me or anything, but it was just traumatic to be on camera and like fame in general. And so I revert back to like a 17-year-old when I fight with my husband. Like, I like, you know, please see me. Am I enough? Like, insecurities, whatever. So they said that Leonardo DiCaprio, because I think he was 25 when Titanic came out, right? And that's when he catapulted into this, his entire life changed from that movie. And so, like, he's kind of stuck as a 25-year-old. So that's why he keeps dating 25-year-olds. I don't know. It's a good theory, right?
It's a really good theory, actually. It makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. Like, he can't grow up. Like, why is he, you know, he hasn't chosen, not that everyone has to get married, but he hasn't chosen to settle down or have children. Isn't he close to 50 now?
Yeah, he's got to be upper, like, late 40s.
I mean, like 48, 49?
Almost, yeah, he's
almost. That's good for his age.
You're like, well, I could be a 25-year-old.
You're like, might have to get in there.
Act like a 25-year-old for you, Leo.
Leonardo. I'm looking it up now. Leonardo DiCaprio is...
Hold.
48. Oh, 48. He turns 49. No, he just turned 48. I swear he was 50, but 48.
Okay, he just turned 48, which is so interesting too, because he's had to hold his own against, like, you know, when he was young, he did This Boy's Life with Robert De Niro. Like, he's had to hold his own against these really amazing other actors and really take on these like crazy roles. I mean, remember when he did Gilbert Grape when he was 15, you know, I mean, he's an amazing actor, but for some reason, like, the professional side of him has matured, you know, and grown, but it's like, maybe that emotional side just hasn't, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could be Brad Pitt's younger woman.
Oh, you and Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt just turned 60, and she's like so into it.
He's still good looking. I mean, like, I think Pitt, George Clooney, they just got better with age, like wine.
But that's unfair. Like, women, like, I was thinking about this the other day, like, when you turn 40, it's kind of like, oh, she's 40. Like, she's 40. Like, is she going to have kids? Is, like, are eggs dried up? And then you think of a guy, when my husband turned 40, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, he's still so young. Like, he's 40. He's so young. Like, visualize a woman who's 40 and what you think about that. And then visualize what a man is at 40 and what you think about that.
I think about J-Lo. She's 50 and she's hot as shit, honey. She's like, them tits are still perky. I'm like, oh.
But I don't know if that is, I don't know if that's a fair comparison, because I think we look at that and we go, oh, it's possible. But yeah, sure, it's definitely possible when you have the team that she has. And I feel like people don't, like women like Jennifer, Jennifer Anderson should go, I have this body, but I also have a lot of help. I have a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. I have a personal cook. I have, you know, I don't have kids to run around, you know, Roxy, like, take up so much of your time. Yep. It just isn't the same.
Yeah. It just,
what about Kate Winslet? Kate Winslet's gone the natural route. I don't think she's done like a lot of work on this. I think she's gorgeous and like she's aging so elegantly. She's beautiful. She's still sexy. More of that, please.
Yeah. I mean, she does look good. And she also, I think it comes from her inner self too, because she carries herself, yeah, you know, with confidence and like in a way that she's, yes, not intimidated by all that shit, right? Like you can tell, yes, like when you look at different actors and actresses like on the carpet or like, you know, in photos or whatever, it's like you can tell the ones that are, you know, have like, are insecure about stuff like that. When Kate Winslet walks out, she's just like, fuck it,
yeah,
I am who I am, and she looks beautiful. I mean, 100%.
Yeah, but we need to show more of that though, yeah, don't we? Like, on, I think, mm-hmm, what I want to see more of from my kids is, I really want to see, I want to normalize what a woman's body looks like. Mm. Because I grew up in the 90s when the heroin chic thing was, you know, the Britney Spears and the Christina Aguilera and the Olsen twins, and I starved myself through for most of my teen and early 20s, and mm-hmm, I want to see cellulite, for fuck's sake. I want to see cellulite, mm-hmm, I want to see a burn scar, I want to see a pimple, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see fat on camera. And yeah, so our kids go like, Mom, what is this? And they, if everyone is listening,
let me turn around, I got a fat booty,
to like take her clothes off. But I want to see that.
Tammy asked for it.
If our kids are like, well, what it, like, am I fat? Go, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because we see it. We, yeah, still have not normalized that. We're maybe starting to, but I'm telling, like, every body that I see on TV and film is like ripped, like, you know.
100%. Let's see some chubby leading ladies, man. I want some of that. Let's, yep, see some, like, just let's see different looks. Like, it's, uh-huh, just been still to this day a very similar type of look that is like, oh, she's got a leading woman look. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, why are you going off of look? But that's the unfortunate thing about Hollywood, that is often they do looks first, and then it's great if they're talented. They're talented as well, but they choose off of looks first. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it. They're still photoshopping stuff, you know, on magazines and photos and all that stuff. Let's see some, like, flaws. Everybody has flaws. Let's normalize that. It's not as bad as it was probably in, like, you know, back in the early 2000s or whatever, but, like, mm-hmm, still a lot of work needs to be done to normalize a lot of things. But we'll see, we're seeing singers and actors and a lot of you know, and changing, still not fast enough, but it's changing surface level again, but a lot more needs to happen.
You'll see like the leading lady, but she'll be like the comedic leading lady, and that's right. You know,
like, who, not appealing,
yeah, it's not like here's a drama, mm-hmm, she's the lead of this thriller drama big blockbuster Marvel film,
yeah,
and she has some weight on her, and mm-hmm, we're fine with that. Like, we don't see that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we see sitcoms, mm-hmm, but then why, you know, my husband has a friend who's slightly overweight, and he said that he was afraid of losing weight because then he wouldn't be like, these are his words, the funny fat guy. Mm-hmm. And so what happens if you lose that weight, then you're just like the funny guy, and you've lost that edge, you, mm-hmm, know? So, like, you know, we need to see it in other places.
Yeah, we definitely do. Mm-hmm. And I think just to even piggyback on that too, with like the ageism thing, like I was actually talking about this past weekend about Maverick, you know, the Top Gun film, and mm, about how for his love interest, they brought in Jennifer Connelly.
Oh yeah. Amazing. That was great.
Yeah. She's amazing and beautiful. And that was great. But the friend I was talking to was like, what if they had brought back Kelly McGillis, the one in the original Top Gun film, you know, that she was the blonde that he was with. But I guess now she's, you know, gained some weight. She's older. She's probably more like his actual age.
Yeah.
So it was interesting because I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Like to be sort of maybe true to the film, they could have brought her back. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that was something that they even considered or.
Yeah. And did you see that sex scene? I was like, they have sex in the movie, and it's like the most ridiculous. Like, you see his shoulder, and then you see like her lower foot, like, and then you see his hand, and then that's it. It's like, I'm not wanting to see all these sex scenes, but it's like, you know, there are older people having sex. Like, you can see her back, for goodness sake. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? I know they want to keep it PG, but like, you can see like something other than just her foot, you know?
It kind of looks like they were playing a game under the, like,
I know, or it something. Looked like
I gotta Google it. I'm trying to Google this scene now. Where do I find
this?
Don't
worry, it's nothing. You blink and it's over, and it's just, it honestly is.
I showed my daughter that film because after I saw it, I was like, this isn't even like, this is like nothing, you know, nothing. Like, it wasn't risque or anything like that.
You're like, I showed my daughter the film. I mean, it's fine that like two massive like planes collided with each other in the air. I'm like, Roxy, what about that part? What about the part that literally like explosions of aircrafts? You're like, well, it's nightmares. But
she was so bored of it because I took her in the theater and she was like halfway through, she was just like,
I know,
what is this movie?
She wants to see Lili Crocodile and you're like, here's here's mom again.
I'm like, shh, it's a good part. It's a good part.
Yeah, be quiet. Don't go to the movies with Panda. I went to the movies with her yesterday and I was like, I have ADHD and she moves so much that I like had to put my hand out so I couldn't see her
move. Okay, listen, that chair was so uncomfortable. It was, you're like, you told me, you know, how she told me, so let's go to theater. I went to this place that has reclining chairs.
Yeah,
like,
but it wasn't playing.
And girl, and it's like those like, you know, new economy chairs that in the airplanes,
oh,
that's like,
God,
even
that's
tighter.
So bad.
You feel like a sardine.
Oh,
I'm like, God. And then we both put our feet up. We're like, nope, it's not working. And then there's no table, so you gotta put the popcorn somewhere. So I had it on the floor. So I'll pick it up, get some popcorn, put it back down. I don't know. And then I'm still working, right? So like, I got like 1,000 messages. Like, it between, put it on silent, but it still
and
vibrates.
I was like, every time our phone calls, I'm like such a passive aggressive person because I'm like.
She's not passive about it. She's like, shh. It's passive aggressive.
I was like, lights in my eyes. The lights in my eyes.
It's so funny. It was funny. You did say you turned the phone away.
Yeah, we saw She Said. It was really good. It was long, but it was really great. I thought it was good.
All right.
I mean, the subject's obviously very heavy, but I thought they both did. The actresses did a great job. So
I should put it on the list.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Panta. We're almost at our hour. Was this painful? Wasn't so painful.
No, it was a fun. No, not painful at all. It was a fun journey. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't think we'd have like a deep conversation. I thought it was we're gonna shoot the shit. You
it's
know,
a shooting
like,
the shit.
You never know what you're gonna get.
I know. It was like some like serious talk, some fun talk, some dirty talk.
That's our show. That's what our show should be called: Fun, Serious, Dirty Talk. Oh my gosh, it's a new. That's the new heading.
Special episode featuring.
No, but at the end of every show, like, our guests are like, this was fun, like you know, they're confused but happily surprised. Pleasantly surprised.
Because you guys are both film people, has anyone seen The Whale with Brendan
is it out?
They
said he's going to win an Oscar.
That's what they're saying. And I'm like dying to see it.
Every time I say to Sean, I'm like this, I go, what if this is it? What if my career is over? And he's like, well, you can always be like Brendan Fraser.
He was
on The Outs. He was a joke. And look, he's about to win an Oscar. And I'm like, that is your one thing. Tell me. Look at Mickey Rourke in The Fighter. Like, he was done. He was over the hill. I'm like, stop. That's not making me feel better.
You can be just like Mickey Rourke or Brendan Fraser. You got this, girl.
Brendan Fraser, I don't think it was ever made fun of. He's like, he's a legend.
He was known, like, he was such a big deal. And then he was kind of known, I wouldn't say made fun of, but he was in the industry known as a bit of like a joke, like meaning like he wasn't going to be a leading man. Like he couldn't get a job for a very long time. And it took like this movie. He did a few things before this, but it took this movie for people to go, oh, holy shit. Like, he's really good.
Yeah. Apparently this is like the role. This is it for him.
Yeah. He's going to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, should never give up, kids.
Never give up. Never give up.
Yeah. I mean,
Panta, where can everyone find you before we go?
Where can they find me? Oh my God.
Instagram.
Not at the Love Hotel.
Oh my god, we didn't even talk about that. Oh my god, next show.
Wait, hotel. What is the love?
Okay, hotel? You've got 5 minutes before we wrap. Talk about living in Japan and the love hotel. You got 5 minutes and go.
Boy, here we go. And Japan, when I lived there 7 years, and sometimes
no, love hotel. No, slow down for our listeners. Slow down.
But I got 5 minutes. So it's a thing in Japan. It's like a concept where love hotel is where you go to make love because you don't want to go to your house and a stranger to your house. And it's you can rent it by the minute, by the hour, by the half hour. And often they're very private, so they won't even have anybody at the front desk. You just go in, there's a machine, and you choose the room you want to go to. You go in, and typically the room is like locked from the inside until you pay. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And then there's like a tube that, like, you know, in the thing is the 70s, 80s, they would the message tube that would go up. So the tube will come at the end of it, and then like you can put your money in, and it goes, takes the money back and brings back change, and then the door goes and the lock opens and you can leave, and you've had a good time while you're at the love hotel. And that's where you want to find me, because I never go there. What is love hotel?
She's been there. Hashtag Japan is amazing. This, I think, will probably lose a lot of listeners with this one, but here goes. Also, talk about the vending machines.
Will we lose viewers? I don't want to say if you're going to lose viewers.
It's okay. We might cut it out. We'll see. So what about the vending in certain parts of Japan?
Well, there are used underwear vending machines where it comes in a box.
Look at Roxy's saying.
Still wearing it on top of the box. And you can just be like, boop, this one, just like you would go to a vending machine and just, I don't know, do whatever you want with that used underwear.
Isn't there's that different wild, prices. Roxy?
And I'm pretending like my germophobia is not kicking in right now. Like, yeah, but maybe on the flip side of that, maybe that is a business concept that would catch on like wildfire.
Hey man, Orange is the New Black was doing it. Orange is the New Black tapped into that whole used underwear.
I remember that episode. Yes.
They did that, and they were selling it for a good price, making some moolala on it. I don't know. Maybe it's a new business side business idea for whoever's into that.
You know, Roxy, I have a good idea. We should have a sex episode, and we'll get a few people to come in and talk about their experiences. And Panta can come and explain.
Certainly not this crude woman. I'm like still a virgin, you guys. I'm waiting for marriage.
Roxy just met you 2 seconds ago and she knows that's a joke.
But if it wasn't, what if I am?
I mean, you know what? Do you think there's a market for mom's old, holy, used underwear? For mom?
Oh my God. I don't know.
All of
we're going to make a million bucks like Skims. It's going to be amazing.
Maybe, man. Yeah. Used MILF underwear. Sure. Yeah. Sure. I'd be
like, just imagine, like, I think it's so, like, think about this for a second. You know, you're like, oh, used underwear. We're like, okay, that's kind of gross, but like, I get it. Imagine, like, male used underwear. We like
skid marks. That, and, like,
very crusty. I can't.
Yeah. Real crusty. Oh my goodness. Like, I don't even want to.
The crust I like is toast.
It's just imagine that was a concept. Like, no, women are not like, I mean, I know women can be dirty. I get it. But like, women are just not, they're like, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Everyone can go to your Instagram.
Underwear.
What's your Instagram?
It's just my name at Panta Mosley.
Amazing.
I'm boring. No, weird.
Website as well, www.pantamosley.com.
No, it's pkstudioproductions.com.
And where, what
Production
movies?
King.
What movies nice.
Watch of yours?
Well, right now, the only thing I'm going to promote is Stolen Memories, starring the amazing Tannen herself, who gets recognized anywhere we go. We can't have a private moment with this lovely lady.
I only get recognized because every room that I walk into, Panda's like, this girl was on Pretty Little Liars. And I'm like, okay.
Guilty.
I went and hid in the bathroom yesterday because like she like told the entire bar. And so one person came up and then the whole bar heard and like, everyone was like 22 in the bar. And so all the girls were like freaking out. So I went to the bathroom and she's like, are you okay? I was like, please don't ever do that
I
again.
Felt bad. I was like apologizing the rest of the night. I was like, man, I was just screwing around. I was like, oh, I don't know. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry for like the 50 people that you had to deal with.
Also, what was Tamin doing at the bar?
Wasn't drinking.
You were not?
She was drinking. The early rap was drinking. She was drinking sparkling water.
That is true.
How could you?
Panda doesn't drink. Panda's on 7 years of no drinking.
Yeah, because I made a silly promise to myself that I will drink again when I'm nominated for an Oscar or an Emmy. And I was sitting egotistical thinking it'll happen in 2 years. 7 years later, I'm like, oh my God, I'm done. But I can't break that promise. I mean, you know what? If I break a promise to myself, how can I ever keep a promise to anybody else? That's my thing. And I'm like pretty like the word means everything to me. So if I break it, I'm bad. Oh, here comes the Oscars. Come on, I'm bringing it, manifesting it. Hello. Emmys, hello.
But gummies don't count.
Yeah.
Weed gummies. We know weed doesn't count. I didn't make no promise about weed. Don't ask for promise. I didn't make no
like,
promise about that girl.
I'm drinking 10 years, but I'm stoned all the time.
No, actually, I don't really smoke or drink or anything. I used to be a party girl, but she has been locked away and shelved until I become even more successful and then become successful.
So world domination.
Well, this podcast will make it. All your successes come true. And thank you guys so much for being here with this wild, wacky evening of a podcast on my bed. And Roxy is, I don't know where she is. She was in the tunnels.
I'm in the corner, the smallest corner of the room.
But soon we're going to be in person in LA.
Yes.
With all the guests, like live. We're going to do some of it. We'll even probably do some of it live, which would be great. And yeah, don't forget to follow us on Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top, Women on Top podcast
is one job.
On Facebook. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, and
comment. And we love you guys. I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women on... Wait, Panta.